What's up? Welcome back. Harlem Shake. Welcome back. Harlem Shake. Hey, get it. Hey, ooh. Nah. Y'all, welcome back to another episode. If y'all have already seen the cover art, which you probably have, today we are talking about the Cleveland Browns review. And I just realized it's been 7 months since I actually dropped the last podcast. And it's been 7 months because your boy has been busy. We actually just came back to school with the kids. So that's already been hectic by itself. But also, too, me and my boy Sam, who's he's the CEO of the SLA Network, Slay Network, Sports Life Art Chill. But we actually decided we wanted to do a podcast together. So a little co-host called Sam and Matt Talks. For those that do podcasts, you do know it's different when you're talking by yourself like how I am right now. It's more so of a thing where you're just giving facts and less dialogue, unless you actually have somebody that's actually invited on the podcast and y'all talk. But we decided, afterwards, we want to have more fun and having dialogue and actually talk about different things. It's still the same format, SLA, Sports Life and Art. But y'all, we're going to have fun. We got some big things coming up, especially starting May 1st and really all of May. We got some big things planned out for specifically for this podcast. So y'all definitely be looking out. Follow us on Instagram at Sam and Matt Talks Podcast. Instagram, you can find us on here on Anchor, Sam and Matt Talks Podcast. But yeah, man, y'all be looking out for that. Now, get into this. So, today's episode, 2020 Cleveland Browns in review. Why did it take so long for me to do this 4 months later after the actual season? Only because, I got busy, but just because, I was thinking, I can talk about the season, but I want to see what Andrew Berry, Andrew Berry, but what he was going to do for us in free agency. So I specifically waited till after free agency. And at first I thought, let me wait till the draft too. But then I thought, I'm going to give you a little bit of my draft hopes and then follow this podcast up with specifically talking about the NFL draft. So today's agenda. So I got to give y'all the dope facts. There were definitely some, especially just for this season. It's very historic for the Cleveland Browns. and we got to talk about that, but whooping we put on the Steelers back-to-back in Week 17 in the playoffs. And then we're going to talk Baker, free agency, and then again, I'm going to give you a little bit of the of my little hope, my hopeful for the upcoming draft, which is in a week. So today is 4-21, and then the draft is like the 29th, 30th, and 31st, I believe. Now, so before we get started, I actually want to shout out Pro Sports Wire on Instagram, who actually predicted that we go 5-11. And I specifically wanted to do this simply because at the beginning of the season, I was like, okay, when you go to Instagram, follow all the fantasy football guys, all the predictions and all this. And I specifically saw this when we said 5-11. I was like, I know it's not going to be this season like that. Because we got way too, our team is too good to go 5-11. So I specifically like, boom, go back to this. And lo and behold, it was a whole flip when we went 11-5. So shout out to Pro Sports Wire. Great clown work, my guy, but all good. But also, we'll briefly speak on Week 16 against the Jets. Now, we can say that we didn't have any of our. Like, the reason why we lost is because we didn't have our starters. Yes, we lost two of our offensive linemen. Yes, we literally have none of, we had none of our receivers because all of our receivers got stuck with the contract tracing. So, literally, every receiver that played that game came from the practice squad. And, it's a legit excuse. We could literally only run the rock. And the defense knew the game. The defense basically knew the game plan. So there's nothing we could really do. And honestly, anytime Baker actually threw the rock, I had to hold my breath. And if the rock was caught, it was a celebration. That was no exaggeration. But just to be real, it's just because it's the NFL. Just because this is just what it is. There's no excuse. We got beat by the trashest team in the NFL, and people swore we were the St. Louis Browns, which was led by the comments from Juju Smith, the great clown himself, who really thinks that he's the number one receiver, but he ain't had a 1,000-yard season since AB left. But he made a comment talk about we're still the St. Louis Browns, yada this, yada that. I play every year. Okay, cool. But I'm gonna address that a little later I'm gonna address the Pisces Tower Steelers later on in this episode. So we're gonna get on with the rest of the stuff. Now, I wanna do this because this is major. So big shout out to our coach Kevin Stefanski, which has never been done in Browns history, but for winning the 10th annual Honors 2020 AP Coach of the Year Award. So that's major. So in his first year, he went 11-5, flipped the 6-10 team to 11-5. He ended a 26-year playoff win drought, which, no lie, your boy got teary-eyed during that playoff game when we won. And then just off of that, the simple fact that he ended an 18-year playoff drought, which is an NFL record, which was actually 3 years removed from us being 0-16, and that actually totaled 197 losses. So big shout out to Kevin Stefanski and his circle. And I say his circle, not just the team, because in any sport, it takes a whole coaching staff. It takes more than just great players, but he actually gathered excellent coaches to get the job done. So big shout out to Coach Stefanski. Another dope fact. So getting into the dope facts. So we actually tied first with the Dolphins for the highest, or for the biggest increase in win totals from 2019 to 2020. Again, where we went from 6-10 to 11-5. We also went 4-0 against the AFC South, which in the AFC South is the Colts, Jags, Texans, and the Titans. And then on October 12th, Odell actually had the third most receiving yards with 6,785 and 483 receptions in NFL history through his first 80 career game. So big shout out to Odell. Now, on to this back-to-back butt-whipping we put on the Steelers, who, by the way, if y'all were actually watching this whole season, they were actually on their way to going 16-0. And they swore, again, led by the clown Juju himself, who swore that we were the nameless, gray faces, saying the Browns is the Browns. And again, yet I digress, in his 7-year career against us, he's only had 2 games over 100 yards, which included the game where he somewhat dominated our practice squad secondary in week 17. Only had over 100 yards and 2 TDs. Then he's only had 3 games of 2 catches or less under 30 total combined yards. So, Juju, do yourself a favor. Don't open up your mouth to actually dominate and do more than 50% of actually dominating us when you play. But yeah, just so y'all know, if y'all any Steelers fans out there right now, I got time to be paid today. Because y'all really allowed Juju to really think that he's a leader on y'all's team. First start off with Mason Rudolph, now Juju, and now Chase Claypool. Y'all have to do better in who y'all are actually allowing to rep y'all and speak for y'all. But now it's back to y'all's regularly scheduled programming. What I love about this game is that in our first playoff game since 2002, we came out in style, having a historic first quarter where we dropped 28 points on the Steelers, which is actually the first time since 1969 LA Raiders. We tied for second most in NFL playoff road history, where we put up 48 points. And then we had 5 turnovers, which was the most under Tomlin. And we had 24 points off of turnovers alone, which tied for second most in any game this season. Now, mind you, our head coach in the playoffs, or before the playoffs, got COVID. And we only had 2 days of practice before marching into Heinz Field and busting the Steelers in their mouth after them talking all that doo-doo that was oozing out their mouth, thinking we were going to do nothing because we were down on our starters. Then we come again the following week, again with no head coach, and beat the brakes off the Steelers. Again, without our head coach. But again, we're the same old Browns. So, I feel like this was a bittersweet win, especially back-to-back, just because of how we've always been seen, especially to the Steelers. Like, we went on a 17-game losing streak, which I think spanned like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. But after that win, I swear the only thing that I could think about and that kept ringing in my head was Tupac's Hit 'Em Up. And I thought that I had that mindset towards every Steelers fans I saw. No joke. I would say I had zero respect for any Steelers fan. And I legit felt like disrespect was redefined and had a new meaning that day. And your boy, I didn't even have no henny, and I was ready to fight. I was sober. So I can only imagine if I was back home with the fam in Cleveland, it would have been a totally different match. But I would have been so much for it, though. Crazy, so crazy how much I've been for it. But I think one big thing, though, too, just watching the game, I wish that we would have been able to get that win and actually Joe Thomas and Joe Hayden be on that team and get those wins, because they've been staples for the Browns for years. Now, speaking on Joe Hayden, I would still say that even for Joe Hayden, even though he went to the Steelers and went to a rivalry, but only because we actually let him go, which is stupid. We let him go. Of course, he chose. The team that was winning. So I can't really fault him for that. But again, Joe Hayden, he even when he had the chance to leave, he stayed. So that's why I was still put Joe Hayden in that conversation of even a top Brown fan, a top Brown of all time, but just still saying that I wish that we would have been able to get that win for him, just because he held it down for us when he could have went elsewhere, when he was that elite guy. Now, getting more into this, I'll say, so I have three things that I got from the game. So what I love most, the most beautiful thing, and then the dopest thing. So what I actually love the most about that win over the win, other than prefer coaching, was the simple fact that I got to see that dumb ass bum look on Juju's stupid ass face after talking all that doo-doo. Now, I want to digress and call him a bum, because more than likely gonna pick him in fantasy football. So I can't call him a bum too much. But I love capturing his face when they lost that game. Now, the most beautiful thing about the whole situation of Stefanski actually beating out was that Mike Prefer, who is our special teams coordinator and a Browns fan growing up, he actually got to step in and be the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, where he actually grew up in Cleveland, actually grew up rooting for him. And mind you, so this is a man that he may never get a chance to be a head coach, and probably hasn't even really wanted to be one, just simply because he's been a special teams guy his whole career. But the fact that he got to be a head coach in one of the most historic games in NFL history, definitely in Browns history, that was a beautiful thing. So big shout out to Coach Prefer. Now, what was even more dope was the simple fact that I actually got to enjoy that moment at the cigar bar with my pops watching the game. You know, just my dad growing up a Browns fan, being from Ohio, Lorain, 30-something minutes outside of Cleveland, and seeing how joyful he was just to see his Browns win and get back to the playoffs. That was beautiful, and I got to enjoy that moment with my dad. So that was dope. Now, getting into the next segment, talk about Baker. Now, people said a lot about Baker. Even I said some things, and I'm going to digress on that. But I would definitely say that Baker grew up this year. Yes, he struggled with some things, but honestly, anybody would have struggled, especially being introduced to a new system / scheme all during COVID, not having OTAs and such. And he still did his thing. He still shining. I feel like he redeemed himself. And I think we can finally say that Baker finally, he actually finally has stability. And with that, I'm actually looking forward to seeing what he does. And so I actually believe that he's definitely going to take another big step next year. And again, to this, so my guy Robert, big shout out to him and Reach Over Culture. So real quick about Reach Over Culture. That's a podcast. That's definitely one of the dopest podcasts. Talk God, talk faith. They talk sports, talk life. So if y'all really interested in any of those things, definitely go reach out and go actually go follow them. Definitely dope podcast. But Robert, so he actually sent me this post of Colin Cowherd saying on his show, so there are two things that are keeping the Browns from the Super Bowl. So one is injuries that are, for anybody to know, that are obviously very unpredictable. But then he wanted to go say the second thing was the QB. And assuming that he's talking about Baker, especially with all the beef that they got with each other. And I partially agree with Colin. I definitely agree that it's definitely the injuries that will keep us from that. But people, and again, even I was this person, we underestimate Baker and his ability. Baker showed last year when he's in the system that works for him, he's a dog at the QB position. And really what I see with Baker going into year two of familiarity in the system, and coach is obviously not year two in the league, but going in with familiarity and elite players, something he hasn't had, I definitely see him making a big leap next year. Maybe even a top five QB. Now, I've always been hesitant about saying we're going to the Super Bowl, yeah, just because we got an elite athlete. Example, when we got Odell, everybody, all types of Brown fans were talking about, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl, yeah, this and that. And it's not that I never believed. I've always rolled for my team, but I've always been very realistic. Well, pauses for the drama. I think I will definitely say that officially changes today, because I can finally say that we have a championship caliber team, and which is even scarier for opponents is that we haven't even drafted players yet, and we literally have elite players at every single position. And Barry, in his genius, dominated free agency. Now, first off, like, you know, why are we getting? Like, I wasn't mad. Like, I love the fact that we got JJ3, John Johnson III. But I was just thinking, like, you know, we going for somebody in free agency, going for somebody that we actually going to, like, fill a gap in, so we don't have to waste that on a draft pick. But then I thought, you know, okay, the real only safety that we have in our, or that's really healthy in our locker room somewhat, is Ronnie Harrison, who is a dog. But he got hurt last year too. So thinking about that, I'm just like, okay, Barry did his thing in free agency. He definitely did his thing. I think that he shored up with us having the best secondary in the league with John Johnson. Then we went and got Troy Hill. Then we got Anthony Walker at linebacker. Then big one too. And honestly, I don't want to say I'm hesitant, but I'm just like, ugh. But I love the fact that we finally got another edge rusher, or a competent edge rusher, opposite side of Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. So I'm real excited about that. And I think this is gonna be a big move. And I think this will actually be something to where Jadeveon will actually feel like he has something to prove and actually do his thing, because he has a, I think all of them have it, but him specifically, he's on a 1-year deal worth $8 million, but it can be $10 million with incentives. So with this, not sure what the incentives are, but I'm guessing it's something like he's like, okay, yeah, I'm finna get that. I think if we put any incentives on anything, it's gonna make somebody do their thing. And that's not to say that Jadeveon is trash. He's never been trash, but I don't think he's actually really fully reached his potential. I don't think since he's left the Texans, he hasn't been that same player. Mind you, been hurt, cool, but I think this is gonna be big just for us, just because we haven't had a caliber alongside Myles Garrett to dominate
on the D-line. So I'm real excited about that. We also got Malik Jackson and Tack McKinley. Now, I can honestly say, just because with that championship caliber team, what makes us have a championship caliber team, is that now we have the coldest running back duo. No argument. I dare anybody to try to argue and say that we don't have the best running back duo in the league. And that's no cap. We got Chubb and Hunt. We have the best receiver duo when healthy in Odell and Landry. Hopefully, we can get somebody in the draft. I'm liking Brandon Smith from Iowa. Big guy, like 6'3", 40-something inch vertical. Didn't really get utilized in Iowa a whole bunch. But watching his combine on IM Athletes. IM Athletes combine. Watching him do his thing there. I got real hyped about that. I feel like we can definitely get him in the later rounds. But I think that'll shore up our receiver trio, I think. But I think we will have the best tight end trio. Actually, I think we do have the best tight end trio with Harrison Bryant, Hooper, and Njoku. And I'm actually hoping that Harrison Bryant actually steps into his role. Harrison Bryant is a special player. He's basically a receiver playing tight end. Real smooth, and I think that he'll actually take the step next year. Hopefully, he builds some chemistry with Baker, and I think he's gonna overtake that number one tight end position. And I think it'll be cool to still have Austin Hooper doing his thing, being that number two. Then David Njoku, he probably want to get traded again, whatever. Cool, but still be utilized. We definitely have one of the best O lines in Wills, Betonio Treader. Wyatt Teller, Jack Conklin, and then we like I said earlier, we have the absolute best secondary in the league when healthy. So now we got JJ3, we got Denzel Ward when he's healthy, Ronnie Harrison, Troy Hill, Grant Delpit when he comes back, and we got Greedy Williams. That's a scary secondary. So we definitely have the best if healthy, and again we have scary edge rushers and Myles Garrett and Clowney. We have stability at defensive tackle with Malik Jackson, Andrew Billings, and Jordan Elliott. And we got some cool linebackers, but I think those are holes that can be addressed in the draft. And I'm hoping that we can go in the first round, get a linebacker I'm really liking. Cat from Notre Dame. I can't say his name, so I'm gonna mess it up, so I ain't gonna try. But Jeremiah Cole. I'm really liking Zaven Collins. That man's something else. I'm liking Jabril Cox and Jamin Davis. I haven't seen a whole bunch from Jamin Davis from Kentucky, but he's getting a lot of praise. So if we can definitely get him, but if we're gonna get a linebacker in the first round, I hope it's gonna be either Jeremiah or Zaven Collins. Just because, you know, I we don't have to do too much at the linebacker position, simply because Joe Woods gets to go back to his 4-2-5 defense, which obviously he did. Now we have three top tier safeties, still got our corners. But having Anthony Walker at the linebacker position, who is a dog too. I think we just shorted up with a strong linebacker. I think maybe Jeremiah might be the best. But I think the first and second round we can flip-flop. Now, second round can go cornerback. But I'm thinking if we have a corner like Caleb Farley fall to us at 26 in the first round, we have to go get him. Forget the linebackers. I'm hoping that we can take our picks in the later rounds, use all them up with some later rounds next year to move up in the draft and get a linebacker. I'm not really seeing too much value in this year's draft, especially after the third round. Honestly, after the third round, I don't see too much value. So I feel like we use those picks that we have later rounds to move up in the draft to get that. I think that'll be a big move. Possibly getting a defensive tackle in the third round, then a receiver in the fourth round. Speaking of Brandon Smith, Now the defense tackle. Now what I'm hoping is that we don't get a defense tackle in the first round. And I'm only thinking that because we actually gave up Sheldon Richardson, which at first I thought it was stupid until I saw that, okay, well, the reason why they did it is because we signed Jadeveon Clowney, and they said that Sheldon Richardson would actually be due $12 million just this year versus Jadeveon's $8 million. So, basically, Jadeveon's $8 million this year is replacing Sheldon's, which still gives us some cap. So, it'll be worth it if we can, if we see that, okay, Jadeveon having to be a better deal, well, I was really on more dominant for our defense than Sheldon Richardson. But just with that, I'm hoping we don't do too much. Get a defensive tackle. I honestly don't think it's gonna be that big, but I hope we don't waste our draft pick on a defensive tackle on the first round. But man, that's all I got for y'all. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Again, welcome back. Good to be back with this. Again, y'all be looking. Yeah, y'all check us out on 7 Red Talks. We haven't posted a whole lot, but we definitely got some things to work. But until next time, y'all, peace.